There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over a million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action.
Now it's time to talk Braves, Falcons, and college football with a Deep South college football legend. It's the Buck Belue Show, exclusively on The Fan.
Is it time already? Shift change here at The Fan, and get caught up with talking to the locker room guys, getting out of here, and forget to get ready for the show. Let's go! Go time! Buck Belue Show here on The Fan, 680 and 93.7. Streaming at 680thefan.com. Get that Fan mobile app driven by Beaver Toyota of Cumming. Beaver Direct, the fastest and easiest way to shop online. Let them wow you. 10 o'clock hour on The Fan, brought to you by the Haug Barron Law Group. Got Road Dog in the house. DT ready to go. And I just believe we've got plenty to get to today. Could I get an extra hour to fit it all in? I can't. Just 1 hour. All right. Well, let's get to work then.
Bucks Big Take.
The Alabama Crimson Tide is on the outside looking in for only the second time in the college football playoffs. There's a lot of Bama fatigue going on, even here in the Deep South. But be real. Bama's better than TCU. The committee knows it. You know it. And I know it. Strength of schedule. Alabama number 9. TCU number 25. FPI. Alabama number 2. TCU number 10. TCU just lost to lightweight K-State with a Big 12 title and a spot in the playoffs on the line. Bama lost to 2 top 10 teams on the road on the last play of the game by a total of 4 points with their Heisman quarterback dinged up. Playoff committee chair Boo Corrigan, that's right, Boo, tried to sell us on how improved TCU's defense is last night after the announcement. I mean, come on, Boo. Improved? K-State ripped through that group like a hot knife through margarine. That defense, Boo, you're talking about is number 57 in scoring defense. Give me a break. There are 13 committee members. Only 2 have SEC ties. The other 11 wanted Alabama out. And how did TCU stay at number 3 even after a loss? The 4 best teams are not in the playoffs. And it's because the committee wanted Alabama out. And why am I taking up for Alabama? Well, that's easy, dude. I'm a Deep South guy. Let's hear from Nick Saban talking about whether Bama deserved to be in over a one-loss team.
If we played these teams in question, would we be underdogs in the game? You know, who the best teams are at present. That's how this should play out.
Yeah, and it didn't work out that way. Alabama fatigue is what I'm thinking.
Isn't that argument a little flawed? Because weren't they favorites in the 2 games that they did lose?
Again, on the road, in the SEC, lost on the final play of the game by a total of 4 points.
And they were favorites. So that's his argument, is that they would be favorites and they would win. But they were favorites in those games.
Well, it sounds like you're one of the ones that have the Alabama fatigue.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm tired of Alabama.
I have fatigue of a 2-loss team, Buck, that didn't win their division and didn't play in a conversation.
So you want to see TCU get beat by 30 points.
I think TCU One, they went undefeated in the regular season. They were rewarded with a conference championship game that they lost in overtime by 6 inches. And
I blame the coach for that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying they should have won that game, but they still lost. But they had an undefeated regular season, and I don't think you can. I don't think Alabama and Ohio State sent a home.
You guys are talking about the resume. Isn't the committee's job
to
get the four best teams in?
That's
and you're telling me you think TCU is a better team than Alabama.
I didn't say that. I think that they deserve to be in, though.
Yeah. Oh, well, let's get to a nugget, man. We got more to go.
Tasty. Time for the College Football Nugget, presented by your locally owned and operated Ace Hardware. Find your neighborhood store at acehardware.com.
Georgia, Ohio State, for the second time ever? How can that be? And they're in the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl national semifinal game. Don't you just love it? Will the Dogs run for over 300 yards in the game? Michigan almost did that to Ohio State. Will the Buckeyes and C.J. Stroud pass for 500 yards? Seriously, the over and under, on those two stat lines is going to be very interesting based on both teams' last game. Must admit, I did find myself wishing the Dogs had Nolan Smith rushing the passer against LSU. First time we've really missed Nolan. Ohio State, you had noticed, they've also missed two of their best players. Big play receiver Jackson Smith, Jigba, has been missing. And big-time back Travion Henderson has been dinged up. Buckeyes would love to get those two guys back for that New Year's Eve showdown. Georgia opened a 6.5-point favorite and is trying to be the first back-to-back champ since the hated... Road Dogg and DT hated Alabama 10 years ago. Did you guys hate Bama even back then?
Still do, Buck. Oh, yeah, sure. actually, a lot of respect for Bama, but, yeah, not my favorite program.
Yeah, and I understand the fatigue part of it. Tired of seeing them in there. And has Ohio State given a little bulletin board material for Georgia already? I mean, they can't get out of their way. Didn't that coach for Ohio State admit last night that beating Georgia and advancing to the Natty to play Michigan would be historic? Yeah, I'm sure the Bulldogs are paying close attention to that. They're already planning on beating Georgia. The Dogs, as Hoyt would say. Yeah, first... Dogs with a shot to repeat. First time since Alabama in 11-12. Team that DT's hating on. I'm just teasing DT. Don't get upset.
Come on now, buddy.
Come on, man.
Not hating.
Don't get upset. We all know Alabama's better than TCU.
No argument here.
Yeah, let's hear from Kirby talking about Ohio State, the Buckeyes.
Well, I'm excited. What a great program. What a great job Ryan's done there. They got a lot of really good players because we recruit a lot of the same kids, and they've got a tremendous program. It'll be a premier matchup, which our guys love. And, you know, when you make the Final Four, whether you're 1 through 4, it really doesn't matter. What matters is how you manage this time building up to this game and the nature of the game, because there's a lot of buildup.
Yeah, I tell you what I loved, Georgia LSU, was Todd Monken getting that ball to Brock Bowers. 6 touches in the game. Take some more of that come playoff time. Had 7 against Georgia Tech, 7 touches. Bowers is just fun to watch. How could he not be on a first-team All-American team? Would you really take that Notre Dame tight end over Brock Bowers? I know I wouldn't. McIntosh looking good against LSU. And how about Milton? Yeah, there was a lot to like. Hung 50 on him. Went for 2. To get to that half-century mark. with the Philly special on that two-point conversion. That was awesome. All right, there's your nugget. 404-231-1680, the phone number. Want you to be involved in the show. Feel free to call. Got a couple of topics already on the table for you. Bama missing the playoffs. The Dogs getting the Buckeyes. Love to hear from you today on the show. Coming up next, a little Falcons talk. We'll do a top five and also take your calls. Chip Towers will be with me at 10:35 for the roundtable. More on the Georgia football deal. It's the Buck Belue Show here on The Fan, 680 and 93.7.
There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over 1 million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action. The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Minute sprint, 10 to 11, Monday through Friday here on The Fan. We appreciate you, man. Want you to be a part of the show. 404-231-1680, the number. Man, I got my Heisman vote in yesterday and did something I have not done in years. And I'll tell you what that is this time next week. Picks, if you're wondering, picks of the week, 1-1 again this week. I'm around 500, maybe a game over. This season, UCF let me down against Tulane, but the 49ers came through for me yesterday. So another 1-1 week. Let's talk a little Falcons football.
The Dirty Birds are in our blood. And guys like Buck know what's happening in the huddle. Let's dive into Falcons football on The Fan.
We've now lost 4 out of 5 games. We're going to take a week off, try to regroup, and get ready for a trip to New Orleans. Oh, Lord. That rarely goes well down there. So we lose 16-19 against the Steelers yesterday. We're down 6-16 at the half. Another struggle offensively and just self-destruction. More of that, which is tough to watch, obviously, when your team is shooting themselves in the foot. I'm talking about Mariota. Talking about Hesse, what were we, red zone first and goal. Down 13-19, 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. We got tight end jumping, false start. What's going on? End up kicking a field goal. Now, the boys at the coffee shop are busy ripping Mariota. And most of them jumping on him for that end-of-the-game interception. And I just have to chuckle when I hear this criticism like that. I mean, clearly, the offensive lineman was on skates, pass protecting, and as Marcus is throwing the ball, he's getting hit upside the head as if any quarterback could deliver an accurate ball with his offensive lineman playing on skates. And I tell you what, I'm not sure what it is, but there's an obsession with the media here in Atlanta and most of the fan base about always playing the backup quarterback. And I'm going to continue to maintain the problem's not Marcus Mariota. The problem, let me tell you what the problem is. The problem is the executive team with the Atlanta Falcons. And that has always been the problem. And it continues to be the problem. Leadership on the top floor at base camp. They just can't get it together. I mean, we're talking about poor evaluation of both Personnel and coaches, by the way. I mean, how many bums have we hired through the years? Poor decisions up top continues to haunt this organization. We've got a fragmented culture. And we've got a, I'm not sure if Fontenot's really drafting the players or not. I'm not sure who is. Maybe as a group they're drafting these guys. But they're drafting guys the head coach doesn't even want. How are you supposed to win? And I'm a Falcons guy. This is not fun to say. That's the problem. You want to cut to the chase? There it is for you. Do I want to see what, you know, this backup Ritter has? Well, yeah. And I think what I would do is maybe wait until the final two games of the year to put him in there to see what you've got. I mean, because right now I'm sitting here thinking we're going to have to take another quarterback in the draft. So we just wasted that third round pick we used on Ritter. And if he was really ready to play, fans, don't you think the coach would have put him in there by now? Yeah, that backup quarterback. I was a backup quarterback once. It was nice to be the most popular player on the team. Backup quarterback always seems to be that. Whether he can play or not, whether he's ready or not. There you go. There's some Falcons talk for you. 404-231-1680, the number. By the way, we've got the Podcast Park brought to you by Associated Credit Union. It's got a ton of podcasts on there for your enjoyment. If the shows aren't enough, we've got more podcasts for you as we cover Falcons, dogs, college football, NFL, even high school. From the Perch, a Falcons podcast with Ross Steen. Got Southern Beat with Dan Matthews, Bucks Beat. My podcast this week was with Malcolm Mitchell. That is still up there and was previewing that LSU game. Got to get another one up this week. Go to thepodcastpark.com, or you can go wherever it is you get your podcast, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get those. Let's bring on some callers and see what they have. Kevin joins us on The Fan and the Buck Belue Show. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, man. Welcome to the show, buddy.
Hey, I just wanted to say that I'm kind of like Derek. I've got Alabama fatigue, too. I wanted to say that, you know, they said a couple years ago we were a two-loss team and we should have been in the playoffs. Well, you know what? They said if you take care of business during the regular season, you'll be in the playoffs. Well, they didn't take care of business, so they're not there.
Yeah, okay. We appreciate the call, brother. Yeah, and that's the great thing about this country. We can all have an opinion, and we should be able to still be all getting along, even though we have a different opinion on this. You know, I just want to see the four best teams playing.
I thought Kevin had a great opinion. He agreed with me.
I know it, man. I saw that smile on your face back there. You were pumping the fist. Is that why we lined that caller up?
Hey, you got to ask Road Dogg about that. He's lining him up. But one of the best callers I think we've ever had on the Buck Belue Show.
Let's see what Joseph's got. He joins us on The Fan, Buck Belue Show. Hello, Joseph.
What's up, Buck?
Hey, man, welcome.
I don't know if Alabama deserves to be there or not. I mean, that's not my comment why I called in. I called in because you're getting a lot of talk right now about these championship games and how if a team wins it, it's like, man, it's great. We're going to slide them in here, do this, do that. But if they lose, they're out. This is where I think the wrong precedent is being set. If we want to count 12-game schedule for everybody, it should go off a 12-game schedule. It's almost like you go to work and you earn a paycheck every week, and then all of a sudden you get a bonus paycheck at the end of the year. And that's just what that is a bonus. And I think these championship games are just that, a bonus. It shouldn't reflect on whether or not where you should be ranked. Where you did what you had to do to make that championship game.
Yeah.
During the regular season, like everybody else. So if you go 12-0, another team goes 11-1. I'm sorry, you lost the game. You're not in the championship game. But we're going to go off the 12-game schedule. If a team wins that championship game, okay, so be it. If they lose that championship game, then so be it. I don't like USC. Don't even care about USC. I think Caleb Williams is a joke because of the crap he puts on his hands. But to me, they should still be the four seed. I'm sorry, Ohio State. They went 11-1 in the regular season. Ohio State went 11-1 and got bombed at home. They lost by, what, 3 points on the road, 2 points on the road? To me, that puts the USC ahead of them.
Well, they can't beat Utah. It's the problem. Because Utah's playing some physical football. I mean, Utah could probably hold up in SEC play with the physical style that they play under Whittingham.
I'm still trying to figure out how Florida beat them earlier this year when I was so certain the Utes were going to take that
one. Early in the year, you're not
settled. Early in the year for Florida, too. So.
Yeah, you're not settled in, but you're playing in the swamp in their backyard, which is a huge advantage coming in there. Rusty joins us on the show. Hello, Rusty.
Hey, good morning, Buck. Thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely.
When I look at the playoff selection committee, I think they're supposed to look at the entire body of work. And when I look at Alabama and their entire body of work, you can't dismiss the Texas game and the Texas A&M game, which they could easily and should have lost both of those games, sitting with four losses. Just a couple of questionable calls here or there. And now Alabama sitting with four losses. You can't dismiss those two games.
Well,
just sit back and say, oh, injuries, oh, we've been hurt. Well, Georgia's been injured all year.
Well, what about TCU playing all these close games all season long where they've had to come back late in the fourth quarter?
They won every single one of them, Buck.
Yes, they continue to win, and Alabama has to continue to win. You win the games you're supposed to win.
Wasn't it game control, though? Remember when game control used to be a topic with the committee? How you played the game, how the game went, were you out front, were you trailing? You know, there's no consistency here, and that's the problem, if you ask me. And the problem is you get a lot, these committee members, again, you've only got two pro SEC people out of 13 sitting in the room. So you don't have enough to push your agenda through. You just don't. And they're tired of seeing Alabama. I respect that. I hear that all the time. I want to see the four best teams play, though, and I think Alabama's better than TCU.
But, Buck, based on your logic, then we should just...
I don't understand TCU, though, losing and not falling. They stay at number three. I don't get that part of it.
What makes you think Alabama should jump? They didn't do anything. They didn't play this week.
Exactly, yeah. They didn't do anything bad this weekend.
They didn't do anything good this weekend. They didn't show me anything. They didn't play because they didn't win their division.
Well, I'll tell you, let's check back on this topic when Michigan beats TCU 40-7.
That may happen.
And we'll talk about it. Road Dog, you got some? No?
No, I understand what you're trying to say. Maybe Bam is, but they had two opportunities that they blew against teams that they should have won. So, and I get it, it was on the road, and I get it was close, and one of them was overtime, but they lost it. So the argument is kind of stale. Now, I will agree with you. I don't understand why TCU didn't fall. I believe that's the committee trying to avoid the Ohio State-Michigan rematch. Maybe they should have jumped them, but... It's tough. I mean, you have your if you're going to tell me that the regular season wins and losses don't matter.
We only have to put up with this one more year. And I'm going to stay on the show today. We're going to delay Nick and Chris until some Alabama fan calls up and says, "Baloo, good job, man. You had our back. Thanks so much. We appreciate it." So tell Nick and Chris this thing might be the show might be delayed today until we get that Alabama fan on.
Good luck with that.
Good job, Baloo. Yeah, and again, why am I? Well, I'm a Deep South football guy. I'd prefer to have a team here in the Deep South end as opposed to the Horned Frogs, I think it is, who are just going to get slammed. But only one more year of this, and then we go to the 12-team playoff. We won't have this give and take, this back and forth that we're having right now, but for one more year. Kevin, is that Kevin? Different Kevin? Same Kevin? Let's get to the top five.
The best in college football and the NFL.
Five, four, three, two, one.
It's time for Buck Baloo's Top 5. Presented by your locally owned and operated Ace Hardware. Find your neighborhood store at acehardware.com.
All right, Buck, starting with some of the biggest news in college football we saw over the weekend. Coach Prime headed to Colorado, taking over the Buffs program. But as we talked a little bit before the show, understand. Are you doubting Coach Prime at Colorado, Buck?
Well, remember last week I was telling him not to take the Colorado job.
I was a little surprised he took it myself, yeah.
Because I want to see Coach Prime be successful. And this is a long uphill climb at Colorado. And don't you know, if he's not successful lifting that Buffalo program, then the take is going to be Coach Prime can't get it done in major college football. I want to see Coach Prime be successful. I'm not sure he can be successful there.
Don't you think? Do you think he can bring in a lot of these recruits? Are portal folks from other schools, the other kids that are looking to come to Colorado, apparently already getting a lot of attention, saying he's going to bring in
well, he said he's going to out-recruit the rest of the country. Now, I want to see that.
Well, we'll
he's going to out-recruit Kirby? Saban?
That might be tough.
Yeah, I can't wait to see how that happens. Now, he introduced his son as QB1. Said, here's your quarterback. And then in the same breath, he said, he's going to have to earn it. What? Which one is?
I don't like the idea of naming a quarterback before we've even gotten the whole team together, basically. So,
well, it looks like Shakir, I think, is the son's name. Shakir.
I'm sure he'll get a shot, though, yeah.
He's going to be the guy.
Yeah.
And it looks like Alabama assistant Charles Kelly is going to be the defensive coordinator. That is the rumor circulating right now. Coach Prime, I want to see him be successful. I'm just not sure he can be successful there.
Could take some time out there in Colorado, but I'm sure Buff fans are excited. All right, Buck, moving over to the ACC. What's the deal with Big Cinco?
He's transferring.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to hit that portal today. Klubnik takes over for Clemson in the Orange Bowl. So, Uiagalelei, after weeks of practicing how to pronounce his name last year, he's going to leave us now. And reportedly, from what I'm hearing, he's going to end up at UCLA, replacing DTR out in L.A. We'll be keeping track of that.
All right, Buck, moving to the NFL here in the top five. Big win for your 49ers yesterday, beating up the Miami Dolphins. Yeah, we know you love the 49ers, Buck, but are you jumping off the bandwagon with no Jimmy G?
Yes. Oh, yes, no. I'm no longer a 49ers man.
That does affect the offense.
You're going to have to come up with another tag for me on this one. Yeah, I mean, Jimmy G, he looked stunned as they were carting him off the field with that broken foot. And now they're going with Brock Purdy, who I was totally impressed with the job he did coming off the bench.
Absolutely, yeah.
But look, they're no longer a Super Bowl favorite in my mind.
Yeah, Super Bowl odds.
No Jimmy G, no advancing in the playoffs.
Everybody's on the Cowboys now, Buck. We'll see if
how about them Cowboys?
Be one of the leading contenders out of the NFC.
Yeah, I'm not there yet.
We'll keep an eye on that, but we'll stay in the NFC. We want to know what you think about the Rams, Buck. Are you going to lay it into them, kick them while they're down?
Yeah, I mean, did you see this? They're now 3-9.
Mm-hmm.
It's the worst 12-game start for a Super Bowl champion in the history of the National Football League. Nobody's ever been worse than the Rams coming off their Super Bowl victory.
Was it about six losses in a row?
It's unbelievable.
Ooh, that's bad.
The bottom has fallen off.
How quickly it can change, but we'll see how...
Yeah,
Les Snead deals with...
this has got to be embarrassing.
Yeah, and remember, you know, they went all in last year. They won the Super Bowl, but spent a lot of draft picks, and we'll see how they recover from that. Got to fix that offensive line, my goodness. All right, Buck, finally, big AFC showdown yesterday. Very entertaining between the Bengals taking out the Chiefs. Well, who you got? You got one game to win. You got Mahomes or you got Burrow?
I'm going with Burrow.
Oh, okay, because he beat Alabama.
Burrow. Burrow, a championship quarterback.
He is a winner, Buck, man.
So, I heard this one yesterday, too, watching the game. The Chiefs, in their last 25 games, are 0-3 against the Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
20-2 against everyone else.
Wow.
Can you say Joe Burrow, championship quarterback?
Talk about delivering some on-target throws with the game hanging in the balance. Hey, Joe Burrow's unbelievable. Didn't Urban Meyer tell him you might as well transfer because you can't play, son? You can't play a lick.
Maybe not in Urban Meyer's offense. But, yeah, more of a traditional passing pro-style offense.
Yeah, Burrow's the man.
Pretty good. And not to mention how he does. He runs around when he needs
to. Plus, I can't get past last year in the playoffs where Mahomes, they were up right before halftime.
Oh, yeah. I remember
and
this. Okay.
He made a bonehead play.
Right there on the goal line. Yeah.
Where they didn't have a timeout. He threw it short of the goal line. Tariq Hill, I believe, got tackled. Mm-hmm. The clock runs out. Yep. And if they had kicked the field goal, they would not have had to go to overtime. They wouldn't have lost in that playoff game. So, yeah, I'm a little down on Patrick Mahomes. But I'm high on Burrow.
And that's your top five.
Top five on 680 The Fan, Atlanta's sports station.
Yeah, the top five. Woo. And now it's time for the Bulldog Roundtable.
The Fan is proud to be the official sports talk station of the Dogs. And it's time for Bulldog Roundtable with Buck Ballou.
25-20, far sideline, 15-10, 5, get in there, touchdown!
Bulldog Roundtable is proudly presented by Georgia's Own Credit Union, Haug Law Group, T-Mobile, and by attorney Ken Nugent.
And that's going to be the ballgame. Georgia will win this ballgame.
Only on The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
Let's bring on Chip Towers with the Atlanta Journal-Constitution all over the Bulldog scene. And, Chip, what'd you make of the post-game sense of just being thrilled with winning the SEC, or this team's got bigger things in mind?
Oh, well, I certainly appreciate, like I would think you do, too, is just winning the SEC. I mean, it's hard. And, Georgia hasn't won. I mean, Georgia's won the second most of anybody, but I mean, you know, if when you think that this is just the fourth one since divisional play began and the first one in 5 years, when you've been fielding some really good teams, you know, I'm totally down with the appreciation factor for winning that game. And that's whether it was against LSU or Alabama or whoever it is, you know, it's a big, heavy trophy, and there's a reason for it. But, yeah, I mean, I also came away, that second half and, you know, 502 yards passing, you know, that was concerning. I mean, I understand. I get it in the complexion of the game. You had a big lead. I think the defense definitely relaxed and certainly didn't play to its best at all. But I also think, you know, Ohio State, as it turns out, that the opponent is going to be is probably licking their chops a little bit at the chance to go against that defense, which is exactly the opposite of what you would, went into the postseason thinking that opponents would think.
Yeah, and it works on both sides, right? Because I saw Michigan just dominating Ohio State with a run game. Georgia ran for 275 yards against LSU. So could it be that, and I mentioned this off the top of the show, you probably got Stroud thinking, we're going to throw for 500. You got Georgia thinking, we're going to pound those suckers with a run game. We're going to run for 300 yards on them.
Well, that's the wonderful thing about bowl games, period, or the postseason, is that, you know, the kind of regional bias and strategic, counter strategic preferences of programs. And, you know, generally, if you look at the postseason in recent years, you know, the Big 12s of the world and the teams piling up the big numbers haven't done as well as those who play a little bit of defense. But again, you know, this is what you sign up for. And look, I've heard your discussion. I didn't hear the top of the show, but, you know, talking about, you know, the college football playoff, I mean, I don't think the committee did Georgia any favors, you know, giving them Ohio State as opposed to TCU. I'm not surprised that it turned out like it did, because I've tuned into those teleconferences all season and listened to Boo Corrigan and that kind of thing. And when we came out of that game, I said, yeah, I'm not 100% sure TCU would drop, and a lot of that had more to do with being able to elevate and justify elevating Ohio State two spots without them playing. So I kind of get it, but, I mean, you know, in terms of accurate seeding, I mean, if you just look at the Vegas odds, you know Georgia got the short end of that stick.
Chip, what'd you make of the Philly special to hang 50 on LSU, a team that had really sort of gotten the best of us in the SEC title game prior to the game on Saturday? I was loving the Philly special to hang 50 on them.
Yeah, I was surprised by it, you know, especially, I mean, and Kirby was emphatic at the end of the game. It's his book. That's what the book said. The book told us that we need to do that. But apparently he didn't have the book. Apparently he didn't have the book with him when they were playing at Mississippi State and did some other things that were not by the book, you know, when they decided to play man ball as opposed to taking the points that would have put you up three scores. So I don't know where the book was then, but, it was great. It was a beautiful play. I thought it might have been a good play to carry into the postseason. I mean, everybody, let's face it, everybody's got that play, right? You know, ever since the Philly special got run, probably before it even got run, most everybody had a similar play to that. And it's when you see the design of the play, you realize, that's a great play. You know, he can run it, he can throw it. And you got Darnell Washington at the end of it, who suddenly is getting very well activated into the passing game. And that's a matchup situation at tight end, both with Darnell Washington and Brock Bowers, that the Buckeyes are fretting about today. I can promise you that.
Yeah, I was pointing out that Ohio State's been without Jackson Smith, Jigba, their star wide receiver, and Travion Henderson for a part of the season. And I'm sure they're hoping to get those guys back before New Year's Eve. And I was really encouraged to see, for me, looking at Georgia to make them a complete team. I totally believed through the course of the year they needed the X wide receiver spot to improve. And really encouraged to see Ad Mitchell out there playing some against LSU and Arian Smith continuing to get a rep here or there. Hoping those two can be a factor as we get into the playoffs. What do you think?
Yeah, I think injuries and healing up is a big, you know, story in this matchup, period. You know, but yeah, I'm not sure most Georgia fans, I know you're educating them, but, you know, I mean, they had eight players out for that Michigan game. That's still no excuse to lose by more than three touchdowns at home in a meaningful game. They call it the game with a capital T up there. They like those capital V's and everything they do. But, they were missing a lot of people for that game. Travion Henderson, you mentioned him. The wide receiver, Jackson Smith, how do you pronounce it? You've been saying it.
I think the N's silent. At least that's what I'm going with.
Jigba or whatever. I need to apologize for not being schooled on that yet. But, you're missing him. You're missing a starting, their starting right guard. They're running back Mayan Williams, who's the backup to Travion. He started the game but didn't finish, only went a couple of quarters. They ended up going primarily with a converted linebacker at running back in that game. And, so the word is that most of those guys are going to be back. Now, the wide receiver is the big question. He's got a hammy situation. He's a guy that's had, very similar to A.D. Mitchell, he's had five catches all year. He had 95 for 1,606 yards. But flipping back to what you're talking about, I do think A.D. Mitchell, for a bowl game in particular, I was skeptical about how much he could help him in the SEC championship game, though it was pretty clear that he was going to be able to play. And that's kind of what you got in that game. But now you got another month or, 24 days now of preparation. I think there's a chance to get him close to back to where he was before. And that's got to be helpful for you in this game. And Marcus Rosemy, Jack Saint's playing pretty good too. He's a different kind of X for sure. But he's really built confidence in terms of catching. He probably had the biggest catch in that game against LSU, getting them out in the shadow of the goalpost when they were facing third and long after they started at the 5-yard line. He's actually playing pretty good too.
Chip, you think Stetson Bennett's going to New York this weekend?
You know, I am watching that closely. I think he deserves to go to New York. I mean, I don't think any of us are under the think that he's going to actually win it, I think he deserves an invitation in New York. I mean, he's the number one playmaker, the lever puller on the number one team in the country, defending national champion. And there's a lot of metrics out there about his performances in the biggest games compared to those other guys that is not just a little bit superior, but very much superior to those other guys that probably do have a chance on winning. I hope he gets a chance to go, but regardless, you know, the Quavius is going to be okay no matter what happens, and Georgia's lucky to have it.
Stetson was in Fuego this past Saturday against LSU, and you've been in Fuego all season long. Chip, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you. I don't know about that, Buck, but thanks for having me.
Chip Towers, AJC, all over the Bulldog scene. We'll come back 404-231-1680. Take more of your calls. A little Braves mention coming up next. Buck Belue Show on The Fan, 680 and 93.7.
There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over a million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action. The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. One day closer. Let's get ready for Christmas, everybody. It's Buck Belue Show on The Fan, 680 and 93.7. Listening once again. Sort of a nasty day out there today. As we get a week started here at The Fan, a lot to get to, and we got the Braves at that winter meetings deal underway in San Diego starting yesterday. Let's talk a little Braves baseball quickly.
Time to talk Braves. Let's chop it up. Presented by Haug Law Group, your local personal injury attorneys. HaugLawGroup.com.
Seeing Mark Bowman had this. Dansby Swanson called up Alex Anthopoulos over the weekend just to touch base, you know, feel each other out a little bit. Anthopoulos saying he didn't reach out to free agents. So it had to be Dansby calling Anthopoulos, right? One report says the Braves have offered Dansby $100 million. And that happened weeks ago. No word on the years. How many years on the contract would that be? $100 million. Obviously, Dansby didn't fall for that. So he's on the market right now, and reportedly the St. Louis Cardinals are now interested. Oh, no, not the Cardinals. Oh, no. Dodgers need a shortstop. But the Cardinals, great organization, classy organization, got talent to win big. That looks like a good landing spot if he and the Braves couldn't get it together. Continue to keep an eye on Dansby as the Braves try to figure out their shortstop situation. They need an addition out in left field, got to improve the bullpen, and keep an eye on the catcher situation. Are they going to trade Travis d'Arnaud or Contreras? Winter meetings going through Wednesday, I believe it is. Hey, congrats to the Crime Dog making that Baseball Hall of Fame yesterday in a unanimous vote. Crime Dog, a big fan favorite here in Atlanta. That is great to see. Feeling bad for Dale Murphy today, though. All right, that's going to do it for my show. Nick and Chris are coming up next. Have a great rest of the day, everybody.
There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over a million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action. The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.